direction in a sea of chaos. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Us now with Pastor Chris Gordon as we open the Word of God.
Grateful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace. I am Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden URC, and you know we're taking up this very exciting study of Matthew chapter 21 and Jesus's response to national Israel for their rejection of him. And I guess, just to say up front, this is an extremely important topic today to discuss because there are so many well-meaning brothers and sisters out there who think that by supporting Israel in their unbelief, that they are honoring God's design. And I wanted to reorient us this week to look at just what Jesus's attitude to Israel was for their unbelief. No one should read this as saying that we could never see a mass turning and a believing of many people over there to Jesus Christ. We've seen that. We've seen Jews for Jesus. We've seen these wonderful things happen. But this attitude of a restoration of the nation to the rebuilding of the temple and the reinstitution of sacrifice and offering, can you imagine? We haven't thought through the implications of what people want to see or understanding what the design is of who this holy nation would be. What did Jesus mean when he said in Matthew chapter 21, after he had cursed this fig tree, which was symbolic of national Israel? We looked at that this week, and go back and listen to the programs if you missed those, because we highlighted that, where Jesus cursed it and said, let no fruit grow on you ever again. And then in this section, he speaks to the Jews, to the nation of Israel, and he says, therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. That is the holy nation, which includes all tribes, tongues, peoples, and nations, the Gentiles. As a matter of fact, if you read the end of Galatians, this holy nation is called the Israel of God. Jewish distinctions of bloodline and these sort of things are all thrown down now. A true Jew, says Paul, is one what? Outwardly? No, inwardly. And the true Jew is one inwardly, not in the outward circumcision and the letter of the law, but the inward circumcision of the heart. The two, Jew and Gentile, now he has made one in the gospel. So these people looking for a restoration of a national Israel, it becomes a very denial of this character and design where the two now have become one in Christ Jesus. Jew and Greek, male and female, those distinctions are done. So to raise those barriers again, to raise those walls of distinctions when the gospel has brought them down, ends up denying the very gospel we preach. The most faithful way to bring a Jew is preach Jesus in your churches. Don't talk about charts and maps and all these things. Don't talk about the drying up the Euphrates River. Don't hold your newspaper out and point to that. Preach the gospel, and that will have the effect, Paul says in Romans 11, of making them envious so that they might come in, because we have received her Messiah, humbly stated. Now, so he curses the fig tree here, and the disciples come, and they say, why did it wither away so soon? And Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. I find this teaching, my friends, of our Lord in the middle of this horrible scene as one of the brightest gospel teachings in the New Testament. It's just wonderful. He's encouraging the believer. He's strengthening the believer in light of one of the worst possible scenarios, a whole nation rejecting the Messiah. How do I escape that? And that's the question, because I'm no better than Israel. And how do I know my religion will not be cursed and fruitless and barren under the law? And Jesus says, and this is where the great application comes, Israel's an example for us, that we would not put our trust in the law because the law kills, Paul says. Jesus says the antidote. Ultimately, there's only ever been one antidote. Father Abraham learned this. Justification by faith alone. It's a life of faith. The antidote to be kept from a life void of fruit, and then he'll go on to say that that bears fruit is a life of earnest prayer. So notice the priority Jesus says here. If you have faith and do not doubt, you're not only going to do what was done to this fig tree, but you are going to tell the mountains to fall into the sea. And you read that and you say, what? Whatever Jesus just described, it is the antidote to the problem of a fruitless life. And if you want to know what a fruitless life looks like, one cursed, look at Israel under the law. So Jesus uses the most powerful figure of speech he could to describe this. The mount is Mount Olives. So Jesus points to the Mount of Olives, a couple thousand feet up. You will say to that mountain, be cast into the sea, which in their eyes is the Dead Sea. This is just jolting teaching. He's not speaking literally, of course. By the way, anyone who says, well, I just read the Bible literally. Now, when have you ever moved a mountain? So be careful with that. He is not speaking literally. He is saying something in powerful figurative language. The seemingly impossible is made possible this way. Remember the disciples' question to the disciples' question with the rich young ruler? Rich young ruler had come to Jesus, had outwardly perfect obedience and conformity to religion. And he comes up to Jesus and he says, sir, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Two verbs. He thinks salvation is something he can earn. And Jesus crushes him with the law. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor. I know you have a covetous life. And the young man walks away sad. Remember what the disciples said? Lord, who then can be saved? In other words, if that guy can't cut it before you, who can? And Jesus responds and says, with man, it is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. You see, it's the grand question here of the text. How can I avoid this kind of fruitless religion? What happened to Israel? How do I avoid stumbling into this religion of the blind leading the blind with all of its rules that can't do it, that never meets the standard of perfection, that never has a righteousness that exceeds that, Matthew 5, of the scribes and the Pharisees? Well, Israel didn't receive their Messiah. And Jesus is saying the antidote, the answer, is a life that trusts him, that has come to him for life. Notice the emphasis here, and does not doubt. The word here means to be uncertain about him, and even further, especially in the context, it gives the idea of opposing him in life, disputing with him in life, contending with him in life. That fits this hostile context of Matthew 21. You see, all Jesus was experiencing was hostility from people who hated him on the scene because he was calling them to lose their lives for him. He was calling them to repent and believe in him. And that meant all of their confidences, all of their trust, all of their burdens, all of their anxieties, all of their fears, they were to turn from their own answers in this drastic attempt to control their lives and pursue their own righteousness and submit in faith, trusting in him for life. And my friends, how many would not? Putting this in negative terms. Why did the fig tree wither up so quickly? Said the disciples. If the antidote is faith, Jesus says, if you have faith and do not doubt, that's the antidote. The plain answer to that is unbelief. They did not believe. They did not believe in me. John 6, they did not come to me that they may have eternal life, said Jesus. So Christ is really encouraging the true believer in a life of true faith that believes in him and is not uncertain or at variance with him and is not fighting against him, his will, his commands, his lordship, that has truly embraced and fallen upon him for eternal life. That, says Jesus, that kind of life in opposition to Israel, which trusted in its own righteousness and had the law as its badge of righteousness. This kind of life of faith opens oneself up, says Jesus, to the exceeding greatness of power that is made available to him. And we should never minimize just how powerfully the Bible pictures the Christian life, birthed out of a life of true faith. Impossible things were being done. Peter was walking on water. Demons were subject to them. Jesus said in John 14, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me," in other words, has true faith in me, "the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." You see, what Jesus is saying is that when sinners trust in Christ and believe the word of God, the seemingly impossible is made possible through his power. What kind of things? Well, did you notice verse 22? Matthew 21, 22? "And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." Did he just say that? What an astonishing verse, right? He's talking about the kinds of burdens of your hearts as Christians for the fruits that you long to bear that Israel didn't bear. He's not talking about getting a new car or a horse. The health and wealth guys are so abusive of the text. He's talking about seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know, as Christians, how sensitive you are to sin, how you long to love the Lord your God with all your heart, how you long to know him more, not to sin against him, to be disciplined in all areas of life, food, drink, whatever, love for one another. The fruits of faith, of a genuinely transformed life that Israel did not show, contra Israel. What an encouragement, the Lord says, as this antidote to this barren life that we see in Israel. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, so much so that you believe that you have in him all that you need for salvation, that nothing lacks, and that you rest content in his will, that whatever your circumstance in life, you will not doubt him. You will not set yourself in opposition to him. You will believe in him and not reject him. Jesus says, here is a life of genuine fruit bearing, contra Israel, that is open to you. He says, as you trust in him by faith, through prayer, the kind of fruit that abounds to the glory of God will follow. My friends, that's the gospel. That's the good news, that in coming to Christ, he can give you that life. Ensure that we've all come in true faith. Bounding Grace Radio was brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we give you an invite to join us. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are the worship service times. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Many resources there for you to get to know us, who we are, and what we believe. Or you could give us a call, 360-318-0429. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.